Uncluttered and Unfiltered is brought to you in part by our latest obsession, pancakes. Pancakes are the revolutionary cold pack that stick to you so you can stick to your routine. Whether you're pounding the pavement as a runner like me or you're tackling the clutter as a professional organizer like Christine, pancakes has got you covered. Pancakes comes in three sizes and can be used again and again. We both keep them in our freezers, and when we feel an ache or a pain, you just stick them on your body. You can do it 100 times. It's all the benefits of using a cold pack, but no downtime. Find pancakes at pain-cakes.com or at thousands of retailers nationwide.
Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast urging you to let it go and don't look back. With nationally acclaimed professional organizer Christine Stone and self-proclaimed hot damn mess radio and TV personality Eden Kendall.
Welcome everybody to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, especially everyone that is brand new and joining us for the very first time. We know based on the stats we see that we have a whole bunch of new listeners and we couldn't be more thrilled. So without totally boring our usuals, the lovely ladies that have been with us from day one, let us, if you don't mind, introduce ourselves again and explain why we do what we do. So Christine, can we start with you, please?
Yes, we can. I am Christine Stone, and I've been a professional organizer for over 14 years. And I met Eden coincidentally through her other show that she used to do. And we just started a long-term friendship. And one day we were out to lunch and realized how different we were, but how similar we were by what we were going through in our 50s, and me, who was about to turn 60. And I said, we should do a podcast about this. And we did. And here we are. And we are loving every minute of it.
Absolutely. Every second. And my name is Eden Kendall. I am a longtime broadcaster, radio mostly, but I did co-host a TV show, lifestyle and entertainment show here in Jacksonville, Florida. That's where we're based. And we were looking for an organizer to come on and give tips on a regular basis. Christine, once we found her, we never looked anywhere else for anybody. And she just had the best tips and tricks. And I think I speak for a lot of people when you meet somebody who is on one end of a spectrum, you realize how far down on the other end you are. So you being extremely organized, buttoned up. I, on the other hand, am kind of like a whirling dervish through life. I have overscheduled myself again today. As a matter of fact, like everything I schedule, I overschedule myself. I do all of these things that on a regular basis, I say that I won't do again, but I do because I'm me and you're you.
Yes.
And we have found that while we are so different in those ways, the things we have realized in our 50s and now into your 60s are things like that invisible feeling when you're in a crowd of people younger than you and you are the last person that gets not to say called on, but you know what I mean.
Yes, I absolutely know what you mean.
So these are just many of the things that, and of course, we've had episodes where we've laughed about aging and how many doctor's appointments you suddenly have when you turn 50 and all of the other parts that go along with it. But today, before we launch into our topic, which is, if you saw our show notes, you know, it's Swedish death cleaning.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about this.
But I have to ask you about your weekend. You came back from visiting your brand new baby grandson.
Yes,
I did. You were actually like the babysitter, the grandma babysitter.
The first babysitter he's actually had for a nighttime.
Okay.
You know, so, but it was their anniversary weekend. So we went for the weekend to give them a break and babysat Friday night, Saturday. And I can tell you one thing, I'm 60 years old and I came back exhausted. And I really didn't do much. It was just babysitting, then, you know, just holding and rocking. And, you know, he's 3 months old. So you're at the stage where, God, my shoulder hasn't done this in a while, or my hips haven't rocked like that in a while.
And do you rock right now standing still?
I do.
If you're in your living room, you're still rocking?
I'm telling you, it comes back like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a male version of my daughter. So I kept calling him she, and my daughter's like, Mom. I said, I can't help it. I look at him and he looks exactly like you did as a baby. So it's weird how it just all the memories that you think you forgot come flooding back, including gassiness, teething, all those things. It was so enjoyable, and he's getting so big every single month, but it's work when you're in your 60s. That's all I'm going to tell you.
It's work at any age, but when you are in your 60s and you know that the clock is ticking and at any moment you can give him back, you're like, okay, we're good. You're ready to take him. I'll get, you know,
Right.
And you have no control, and you are a person who enjoys having some control.
And babies do not let you have control.
They don't even ask you who's in charge here.
No.
They know that it's them.
Yeah.
And that's that.
Yep. And that's exactly how it was. So anyway, always so much fun spending a weekend with them. But I think it makes you realize that having babies is for the young. So anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll make a note of that. And I won't be.
What about your weekend?
Well, my weekend was actually pretty chill. I'll tell you one thing I am loving. So the girl child, Chloe, started her job as a preschool teacher.
Aww.
And we got to make some construction paper crafts that she was getting ready for the kids. Because the kids are so little, the ones that she has right now in the summertime, that she has to really put everything together before they can actually do the craft.
Right, right.
So she was making paper plate crabs that each person's name would go on for their little summer program. And it was a half a paper plate. And then I got to make a template for and cut out the claws. And it was just fun. I said, is this going to be my whole summer? Are we going to have camp all summer? Because
yes.
I'm down for the crafts.
I loved the crafts. Mm-hmm. I really did. That was like the most favorite part of when my kids were young was coming home when they had a project that was arts and craftsy, and we would just sit at the table and put things together and make things. I did love that part of the toddler / older kindergartners.
I told her no glitter is coming.
Oh, no, no glitter. I mean, come on. No glitter.
No glitter.
No.
Glitter is what you give your enemies in an envelope.
You know, that's exactly like when I open one and there's glitter, I'm like, this person does not know me at all.
They are your nemesis. They're not your friend. All right. Swedish death cleaning. I've only heard about this from you, but you tell me that it is the next thing on what, Netflix?
Yes, it's the next show on Netflix. And I want to start off by saying Marie Kondo, The Home Edit, anything that gets people motivated to get organized, I am 100% in favor of. People always ask me when the newest, biggest thing is coming out, what is my thought? And that's what I always say, because if watching an episode of Marie Kondo on Netflix or The Home Edit makes you go and clean your closet out or get rid of stuff in your kitchen, I'm like your biggest cheerleader for anybody, fellow organizers, because it helps people get motivated.
And I have to think that's why we have several organizers I've noticed that have joined our group and have been listening.
Yay.
And I think that's because this is something that they have experienced the way you have that changes lives.
Yes.
For better.
Yes.
So me being someone perpetually disorganized, but who has experienced becoming more organized every time I do a project that gets me a little bit more organized, I feel more calm.
Yes.
So
yes.
What's different though about this, and why does it have the word death in it?
Okay. So I'm going to read this verbatim only because I don't want to mess it up, but it's designed it's a cleaning exercise designed to essentially help you prepare for death. And although it sounds morbid, it's actually quite practical. This is what they are saying. Once you reach the end of middle age or sooner, if you feel like it, or later, if you're late into this exercise, you get rid of all the stuff you accumulated that you don't need anymore so that no one else has to do it for you after you pass. And so when I was looking into this and researching, I mean, for me as an organizer and an experienced organizer, this was like a no duh to me. Like, of course, I mean, this is exactly what I preach all the time to clients that are over 70, to what I've experienced in my job, which is dealing with a lot of adult children after their parents pass, and how stressful it is. I mean, they're already in mourning over the parent, and then they have to deal with every piece of content and storage units and in the house. And so I see this from this side. And it just, I'm so happy that this is taking off and becoming a thing, because I don't think people realize how much of a burden this is for your adult children to do once you are gone. And also, they talk about this in here, is a lot of it is it helps you talk about death with the person who's still alive. A lot of people are very, very uncomfortable about talking about that. And we're all going to die. I mean, it's just a fact. And so maybe breaching this topic slowly, saying, you know, let's do one room at a time. Let's take one room and do what we want with the stuff that you no longer want or use. I think once people, this is what I always say, once they get one area done, it just motivates them to tackle the next area. I do know that you have to have patience. And sometimes you need a middle mediator person, because it ends up getting contentious if it's the child and the parent. So mm-hmm. That's where I constantly come in, as the person who can help the people get unstuck. And I'm not their daughter. So it's just moves a lot more quickly.
Uncluttered and Unfiltered is brought to you in part by Hearts for Minds. Hearts for Minds is encouraging you to use your sidewalk to motivate others for Mental Health Awareness Month. Help break down the stigma of mental illness, spark conversation, and maybe just make somebody's day a little sweeter. It's easy. Grab some chalk and write inspirational messages and pictures on your sidewalk. Snap a photo and share it online by tagging Hearts for Minds on Instagram, and use the hashtag #ChalkItUpForLife. That's #ChalkItUp, the number 4, and life. Let's chalk it up for mental health. Visit Hearts for Minds. That's Hearts, the number 4, and Minds.org to learn more. Is a scenario that you might find yourself in if you were tackling something like this, maybe mom is convinced that somebody is going to want to inherit that wedding gift that she received from her great aunt Thelma, and it is hideous. And so you're trying to convince her that nobody wants it, or is it more like papers and tax stuff and nonsense? Like, is it just everything in the house?
I think for my business, it's, you know, taking it slow, picking your battles. So really getting rid of those big things first that, I mean, you know, if there's an old treadmill sitting in the garage that hasn't been used since the 70s, that would be something you want to target right away. Mm-hmm. You want to slowly work into the memorabilia, because you're usually dealing with someone over the age of 60, and that immediately brings back memories. And that's why they call it memorabilia clutter, because it can go really slow if you go through each little thing. And that's why, you know, the Marie Kondo's way of doing things is touching something and does it bring you joy? This is not that, which is why I even love it better, because
you're more pragmatic than
I mean, you know, you could be doing that for years. I mean, yeah. You know, in my experience. Okay.
See, I did the Marie Kondo thing. I had that book early days before I really got to know you, Christine. And one of the things that, I mean, she had you like talking to your purse and saying thank you to your purse at the end of the day. It's a whole thing. But what for me was a problem was some things spark joy for me some days and not other days. And so I need more of a pragmatic approach with, when was the last time you wore it? When was the last time you used it? Do you keep it in a drawer somewhere? Are you ever looking at it?
Right.
So I do need that sensibility factor. Right. It can't just be emotion for me.
No. And I think that's why I love this, because it's really practical way of thinking and getting down to the nitty gritty of what do you really need at this stage of your life? And what are you leaving your kids to deal with when you're gone? And when you really have a deep conversation, I have found that a lot of people understand that better when the adult child says, Mom, I really don't want any of this. I just love you. I have our memories. I would tell you if I wanted something. I wouldn't lie to you. So let's do this together. And if you want me to have piles for Aunt Susie or Cousin Jimmy, I am more than happy to do that. But I'm here to help you, you know, so that you're not leaving this to us to do when you're gone.
Since I have so little to offer on this particular subject, may I offer one suggestion?
Yes.
Tell me if you agree. If you decide, if you were in your older years and you decide that you want to put sticky notes on things to mark which child gets them, can you put them on the back, Nana? So when I go to your house, everything doesn't have somebody's name on it. It is so morbid when people do this. Have you ever experienced this? My grandmother went through a phase where towards the end of her life, and it wasn't that she had some impending doom happening. She was just older. And you would be in her house and you would see a little sticky note on a picture that's hanging, literally hanging in a hallway. And it would say,
I actually like
this
that.
Cut. Yeah, you would like that. But no, I mean, it's one thing if you're moving and you're wanting to tell everybody what room something's going in. But if you're designating who's getting what after you're gone, you know, if you're looking at that every day, I don't think that is a good way to keep your optimism flowing.
Let me think about this.
Think about that.
Well, first of all, it better be a really sticky note because, you know, it could fall off and then everyone's fighting over that painting. You know what I mean? Well, even then, so
yes, you're right.
To do that when you don't have something impending, but putting it on the back or typing it up in a computer or speaking it to your child to type up, you know, these are all things that help avoid drama when the person goes. I mean, really, it really does help everyone from fighting over silly things.
The designating the things. My grandmother, another thing she did do that she was spot on with is she did start giving things away before.
Excellent idea.
And that is such a nice idea because you can see the enjoyment on the person's face. Like she definitely did that with all of her jewelry. She wasn't going to wear it anymore. She was 95 when she passed. She wasn't going to wear it anymore. And she wanted to see us enjoy it. She had us pack up and ship ourselves all of her china.
Love it.
And she's like, I'm done throwing dinner parties.
Right.
And you know what she did? That was so sweet. She said, look me in the eye and tell me that you will put this in the dishwasher. Because she was like, it's no good having china if you're not going to use it.
Right.
And this, even though it looks fancy, it can go in the dishwasher.
I love it.
So these are the kind of mandates that she passed along with all of her things. So you weren't looking at boxes. Very smart.
Very smart.
Kind of a little too realistic. But then again, that's where if you have somebody who's not wanting to straddle that emotional and realistic line, this is where something like that can come in really handy.
Yes.
You can say, I heard it on a podcast or I watched a TV show.
Well, the reason why I love this is because it's not about, hey, mom, get rid of all your crap now. I don't want to deal with it. It's really about actually spending some time with the person. And really, you'll hear stories. It can be a joyous thing if you put your mindset differently when you start doing this with the person. Because like I said, a lot of it is wrapped around the word death. And if you have to tread that lightly because they're not dying at 65.
No.
You're just helping them get rid of things so that they've freed up their environment that they're living in right now today and getting rid of all the junk that they don't need anymore.
Plus, I have to say, this is a dark thought, but a lot of people do have to transition into an assisted living situation or downsize. And if you have to couple doing that with purging, that can be extremely painful. But if that's already done, and maybe you have another few happy years living in the environment you're in, but you've already gotten rid of most of the things that you would eventually have to say goodbye to, that would ease a little bit of the pain of that scenario.
Yes, especially when you have a parent going into assisted living, they can barely, I mean, I have so many friends who have been in that situation and they can take some of their things, but like a dresser, a nightstand.
Right.
You know, it's very specific. It's not like a living room furniture situation or boxes and boxes and boxes of memorabilia. So it's just really important to at least open this for discussion. You know what I mean? So another thing that how this can change your life, what they're saying, it is it might make you happier. And not might, for me, it will make you happier. Not only the person helping, but the person who's been living in this clutter or disarray. It will definitely make them happier if they're living out the rest of their life and they're only 70 and they have many, many more years, but living with less. So that, I don't say might, I know will make them happier. If you pare down, the argument is that you really can focus on the really important things in life. And that is so true. I mean, so true.
How many times have you been with an older relative and they say, I'll be right back. I want to show you something. And then they're searching for whatever
searching.
And if they could just instantly know exactly if it's important enough to show you or share with you or give to you, they should be able to know exactly where they left it.
Exactly.
And if you have my life, a house like mine, and you haven't, let's just pretend I haven't had the help of a good organizer. I mean, before I downsized, I couldn't tell you where a lot of things were. Now, every time I clean out a drawer or clean out my car, I find things I had lost.
Yes.
So I imagine not only are the memories going to come flooding back while you're working on this with a parent or an older relative, but they might find some things they've been looking for.
Right. Or something you had asked them for a long time ago and all of a sudden it appears. Mm-hmm. So definitely. So the other thing, having fewer things to worry about really can make life seem more manageable, from practical chores you do on a day-to-day basis to big projects. Another thing that I totally believe is true, and that is being organized, decluttering just makes everyday living so much simpler. And so most of the things they're saying is exactly what I preach all the time, which is decluttering simplifies your life so much more. Multiple studies, which I'm reading from here, link clutter with stress and decreased productivity. And the study that analyzed how 60 women described their home environments found that those who considered their spaces more cluttered, unfinished, and less restful had consistently higher levels of the stress hormone cortisol and worse moods over the course of a day compared with women who described their homes as being more restorative. I mean, it really is true. I mean, if you have a home that you can walk into at the end of the day, when you've been running around, running errands, like you have four different things you do day in and day out. Mm-hmm. If you come home to a house that is simplified, organized, it just makes your life less stressful.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that. Do I live by it every single day? Of course not. But it's true that you have a sense of control.
Yep.
You have a sense of peace when you walk into a home that's already clean, and you have a sense of chaos when it's the opposite.
Yep, exactly. I mean, you can never find anything. Mm-hmm. You spend more money because you go out and buy things you already have because you couldn't find them. And it's just a waste of time and money constantly searching and buying things you already own. So I'm so happy we're talking about this because it's although they're calling it death cleaning, it's really life cleaning, in my opinion. You're still alive. You're not dead. So this is something to put into practice for yourself as well as an elderly parent that needs that little bit of push. Like I said, and what they're saying, it might help you cope with the reality of your own mortality. And I think that's that's true. Like I said in the beginning, no one wants to talk about death. No one wants to think they're going to die. So kind of breaching this topic will maybe help yourself and help that person just to say it's going to happen. So let's do some prep work to make it easier for everyone involved. So I did see this. That I had said to you. Do you immediately wash your dishes after dinner?
No.
Okay.
So, before I go to bed, but not immediately after dinner.
No.
Okay. No.
So I do.
I know you do. I knew you did before you said you did.
So what this was saying is that for people that do wash their dishes after, it's a feeling of being in control and it gives you power and control. Other people just don't see the mess or view it as a problem. And Belk, who researches the meaning of possessions, collecting, and materialism. So that's another thing you have to think of. Like when I go into someone's house to help them get organized, I know they're not like me because there aren't a lot of people out there like me. There's more people like you. Mm-hmm. And so you
I'd never be able to have anybody over.
Well, that's the thing. People think that you only are with organized people if you're an organizer. And it's like, I'm never around organized people, including my own house, because my husband is not organized. Mm-hmm. And so I really do love this because I do think it says there's no right or wrong way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Because like, I don't see it.
Right.
Now, my husband sees it.
Right.
He sees it. So he likely will beat me to the dishes, which is not a bad problem to have.
That's not a bad problem to have.
However, they definitely are out of sight, out of mind. Like if we're watching a movie and we might decide to have dinner while we're watching it, and then the dishes go back downstairs into the sink, we're going to finish what we're doing before we're going to tackle the dishes. Whereas I am 100% sure and will stake my life on the fact that we're going to pause that movie. We're going to get those dishes put away and then we're going to come back and enjoy the rest of it.
You know me so well.
Right. But both are fabulous things to do.
Well, everybody's different. Everyone and that's is. What I say all the time. No one's way is better or, you know, everyone thinks the way they think. And you're not going to change someone's thinking. You cannot go into a scenario thinking, I'm going to change the way they think. I mean, I have so many repeat clients and it's just to spruce things up, do a little zhuzhing is what I call it. It's not that they're, you know, in a series of hoarders. It's just, it's not their thing. And that's okay. That yes. is so okay.
It's absolutely fine.
So the last thing I wanted to talk about is because I saw this and I loved this because everyone thinks because of Instagram that in reality, the models of the homes we see in ads and consumer magazines with perfectionist, minimalistic aesthetic can be almost unlivable. Okay. And it's true. If you think about it, the pretty pictures, I love when the Instagram designers really show the beautiful pictures. And then like a week later, they'll go, this is what it looks like though, in real life with three kids running around.
I'm grateful for that.
And very grateful for that because as an organizer, people want that look and I'm fine with that. I think it's beautiful to have your home in tip-top condition. But if you have three kids under the age of five, keeping that realistically without pulling your hair out every day is not realistic. So Instagram and other social media has made you think my house has to look like a magazine and stay looking like a magazine every day or it's something's wrong. And you're going to miss out on life.
You're going to miss out on life.
You're going to miss out on your kids and life.
And you have to go by that old adage that applies to just about anything on Instagram, Facebook, all the social media platforms, which is you're looking at everyone's highlight reel and
yes.
your own behind the scenes reel.
Yes.
And if you compare the two, you're just going to feel badly. And I also remember very well when we put our house on the market, my neighbor saying, where's all your stuff? I went online. I saw the pictures. Where's everything you own? And I'm like, hidden away.
Yes.
You move it to another room yep. while the photographer is in that room.
Yep.
And that's what's happening in a lot of these situations too. I do love the zoom out, like you mentioned, where an influencer will say, here's the real picture.
Right.
And here's what you got to see when I cropped out
right.
everything in the background. So keeping that in mind, The real life is
yes.
what we're here to talk about. And that's what we have going on social media as well. And this is a great opportunity for us to invite you to be a part of our Facebook page. We have a couple of different social media platforms, mostly Uncluttered and Unfiltered on Instagram and on Facebook. But we have on Facebook a private group
yes.
called Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only.
Yes.
And you are invited to be a part of it. You have to request to enter and we'll let you right on in. And frankly, some of our best ideas for topics
absolutely
come straight from that. The other thing I want to mention is that if this whole conversation about aging parents had you feeling a particular kind of way,
yes,
we are going to be delving deeper into that in an upcoming episode, the emotional side of it, some tips, things that you should be doing and shouldn't be doing when your parents are reaching that age to help yourself have peace and to help them have the happiest life they can as they are getting older.
Yes. So, and I have to tell you, like she was saying, we get some really good ideas. So please keep leaving some great ideas that you want us to talk about.
Okay. And all of the other little things that podcasters tend to ask you to do, we will remind you that you could do for us, which is stars, reviews, telling friends. But until we meet again, which will be in a week.
Yes.
We always remind you that whether it's the stuff that is in your parents' attic or it's the emotional baggage you have from a meeting you had a week ago, you can let it go.
And don't look back.
Hi, it's Eden. Christine and I absolutely love bringing you Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast for women over 50. For the first time, we're asking you for your help. A one-time or monthly donation from you will help us with production costs and help us grow this awesome community. Find a link to make a donation in our most recent show notes, in our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Ladies Only Facebook group pinned to the top, or on our Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook page. And in advance, thank you.